to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We are so excited for another busy broadcasting week for you guys because it's all coming out. Everything is unraveling. Panic is on. The left is freaking. And boy, oh boy, do we have a great show to walk you through all of the elements of this. So you are armed. You are ready to go. When you go up head to head against a liberal who wants to tell you lies, you'll be armed with the facts and the sites to back it up to do your own research so you know what you're talking about. That's what this is. Common sense conservatism. 15 hours a week, Wendy Bell Radio Network. Get the app. Get our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio. 2 million downloads and growing. Just keep coming back. We love having you. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're captive in the car for a while, whether you're taking a journey on vacation or you're doing something for a couple hours, if you get to be in the passenger seat, and you get to scroll on your phone for a little bit and you get to see what's going on out there on a Saturday when nobody thinks anything's happening. Like I did this weekend as my husband and I took our twins to Rochester, New York, 4.5 hours away for a singular soccer game to then get back in the car and drive 4.5 hours back. There was a lot of time to pay attention to what's going on out there from 30,000 feet. Sometimes I feel like I need to go up even higher to see all the stuff that's going on. Because piecemeal, if you get a little bit here and a little bit there, you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. If you see it in rapid succession, you can see exactly what's going on. People are awakening, and it is happening on their own terms, at their own time, but it is happening. New polling out. CNN couldn't hide it. CNN could not hide it. We're going to drop it on you later in the broadcast. It is bad for Joe Biden and company, and they know it. But beyond what is coming, the bloodbath which we see lining up coming in November, and I really hope that we aren't disappointed this time. We're seeing a lot of things unravel and seeing more and more clearly how everything that you and I have gone through peripherally and personally has been a giant setup. Do you guys see this? Zelensky saying that he's worked out some kind of a deal with the Biden administration, something that might be Trump-proof, to create a decade's worth of us funding Ukraine. In perpetuity, if you will. Now, everybody out there who thinks we really should be funding Ukraine, and you know who you are, that Vladimir Putin must be stopped. Even though you've gotten no actual news from the front lines, you have no idea where this thing stands, what's at stake, how many more people have to die. If you think that just giving more money to Vladimir Zelensky so his mom can have another $5 million Egyptian house somewhere, right? You're part of the problem. Because this is the story. It is a giant money laundering operation, all of it. And if it means war in order to get it accomplished, so be it. If that means people are killed, well, that is the price of greed. That is the cost of wanting to stay in power. So 10 years, all of you out there who are like, yes, we need to give more. You're screwing over my children and their children's children and everybody else's out there. Wake up. See what is going on. Did you guys hear any of the stuff that's breaking with Julie Kelly over the weekend? Always interesting stuff to drop on the weekend. This Judge Aileen Cannon in the Jack Smith classified documents BS case says, you know what? I know that you guys are super desperate here to redact all of these documents that nobody can see what was really going on in the early days and months of the Biden administration to go after Donald Trump. But I think we all need to see just how dirty you are. Let's unredact those, shall we? And Julie Kelly started doing some digging. And all of a sudden, the pages that were all black, line after line, sharpied out, became clear. It was all a giant setup. The classified documents, the National Archives, working in secret, working to set up, to entrap, to accuse, to try to convict, and ultimately to murder Donald Trump. That I just said all of those things to you makes me physically ill. And yet that is the truth. We're going to walk through that today. And using that setup as a predicate, what do you guys think about January 6th now? You really feel like what they told you is exactly what happened? You feel like the people who've been thrown away for years and years and years for doing nothing? You don't think that's all BS too? That is the story today. It is all coming out. How about this? Bill Maher sitting down with RFK Jr. Look, whatever you want to think about Bobby Kennedy, whatever you want to think about this guy, I will take away one thing from his work. His advocacy for us to see the data. His wheelhouse, vaccines, started with clean water, led to vaccines. Show us your trial data. Show us your efficacy work. Show us all of this, because when you don't, we're very suspicious. And then when people start getting hurt and we see a rapid increase in turbo cancers, young people dying, when you have health insurance, life insurance, actuarials going sideways because there's a 40% increase in working age men mortality. And we're not supposed to notice it or talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Maher and RFK Jr. did. It is going mainstream. And let us not forget, of course, for those who are worried about even uttering the word Dominion, or ESNS, or any other of these voting machine companies of suck. Those of you who are afraid to utter these words, do know that there is that truth coming out as well. And they've tried to cover it up. But Rasmussen has blown open the story. 1 in 5 mail-in ballots fraudulent. How's that possible? You mean that razor-thin margin that Joe Biden won in Arizona and in Pennsylvania and these other places, that really, really slim margin when he was the guy who won 81 million votes? You mean some of those might not be accurate? Yeah, that's coming out too. And you know who stands triumphant amidst the smoldering ruins, if you will, of SOC, is one person, one man, who simply loves America and wants to save it from destruction. And people are waking up and seeing that. It is all coming out. Now, I needed a 4.5 ride home, 4.5 hour ride home from Rochester, New York this weekend to see all of this. to see all of the stories that at the same time are breaking mainstream, that the networks can no longer hide from. You can't pretend that what you've covered up for so many years isn't news. Because you know who sees it? Young voters who can't afford anything, let alone the American dream. Black voters who realize now that they've been lied to for generations. Hispanic voters who've been here, who've raised their families here, who've busted their humps here, who see immigrants replacing them. Veterans who are being booted thanks to Massachusetts Democrats in favor of illegal aliens from around the planet. America is waking up. And we're going to walk you through this next chapter of unraveling, because what you're going to hear today is proof that Joe Biden, his DOJ, his FBI, his intelligence community, the National Archives, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, all of them colluded in a criminal conspiracy to set up, to trap, to convict, and to eliminate the man who stands in their way to finish the job, Donald Trump. Buckle up, friends. I'm just getting started. We'll continue moments away on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Okay, and the backdrop of all of this stuff unraveling and the truth coming out, it's all leaking and more people in broader sized audiences are talking about this stuff. Look, it's not fringe. It's not some wacko, you know, right wing conspiracy website. Do those things exist? I don't know. I don't normally go there. But this stuff is becoming mainstream. All the while, Donald Trump did something on Friday that was so delicious. All right? He comes out of court where he's been all day, where he's got a totally biased judge who should have recused himself at the very beginning and did not, who has shackled him to the table, who has prevented him from leaving Manhattan and going and campaigning. He must be in court every single day of this, dragging their feet, running out his finances, allegedly. Donald Trump comes out and says, you know what? I would have liked to have been with my wife on her birthday today, but I got stuck because of this judge stuck in this courtroom. So you know what we've decided we're going to do? We're going to hold some pretty big rallies coming up. You know where? Oh my heavens, I'm in the car driving to Rochester and I'm like, yes, this is the best. How about the South Bronx and Madison Square Garden? What? You want to see New York not just go purple, but go red? You want to see the amount of people who will come out of the freaking woodwork to come see Donald Trump? And you know who he's honoring at the rally that they're working on at MSG? Firefighters. And police officers. And teachers. What? Donald Trump, isn't it? He's not making it about Donald Trump. He's going to use it to highlight the actual hard workers, the heroes in public safety, and the teachers who don't suck, who aren't part of the indoctrination. Are you out of your mind? He is a master of taking his message to the masses, slicing through the censorship, creating his own social media empire to supersede all this other jazz, so that when they try to shut him down, they try to silence him, he gives him a good old-fashioned fungu, puts something out on Truth Social and gets millions and millions of views. Now, that said, that awesome news said, this new CNN poll, I'm sorry, it's fun. It's funny. It's obvious. And CNN can't hide from it. Like, what do you do when you commission a study and the results show up not to be the way you want? Well, you try to sit on the results or you try to twist them. And CNN is trying to twist these results, which show Donald Trump with a monster lead over Joe Biden. And it gets even bigger when you bring in the third party candidates in. So CNN is spinning it now as saying that it seems like voters are feeling nostalgic. We're feeling wantings. We're feeling those feelings in our inner soul for Donald Trump. We miss him. No, he didn't suck. Joe Biden sucks. Everything these people have put us through sucks. We're done with the suck. How about that? Does that work? Does CNN get that loud and clear? Done. Donald Trump takes biggest lead ever over Joe Biden in CNN poll. Third party candidates expand Trump lead. The headline from Breitbart.com, here is your story. He's opened his biggest lead ever, captured in the CNN poll of the American electorate, enjoying a 6-point advantage over Joe Biden. He's at 49. Trump is Biden 43. When they're polled head to head, when third party candidates, including RFK Jr., Dr. Jill Stein, Cornel West, they're added to the field, Trump's lead over Joe. Oh, Joe. Say it ain't so, Joe. Grows to nearly double digits. In that multi-candidate scenario, Trump is at 42. Biden is down at 33. Kennedy at 16. West 4. Stein 3. It's a 9-point lead for Trump nationally. It is an astounding number that, if true, would signal the former president is on track for an electoral college romp of Joe Biden, which is why, of course, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. It's racist. No, it's not. What is it again? It's misogynist. No, that's not. It's Islamophobic. Nothing they're going to say, friends, is going to move this needle. Fantastic news. The CNN SSRS poll conducted April 18th to the 23rd, 1,212 American adults, including 967 registered voters, has a margin of error of 3.4, full sample 3.8 among the registered voters. CNN, of course, in a story about the poll, found most Americans look back on Trump's presidency positively. Oh, it's such nostalgia. I don't know. What's hard about this for you guys? You could pay your bills. You could go grocery shopping without worrying about what you weren't going to buy because it was so not effectively affordable. What else? You didn't have all these people streaming across the border and come showing up at your neighborhood. Who's that new person I've never seen before? And the 75 people with them. We didn't have veterans being booted in favor of people we don't recognize. We didn't have out of control fentanyl killing everybody, right? We didn't have crazy electric vehicle nonsense, green news suck, all of it. I'm scratching my head. Why ever would people be nostalgic about Donald Trump? Because life is good under MAGA. Facts. Quick timeout. When we come back on the Wendy Bell, I'm just having too much fun, you guys. When we come back, I'm going to pose this question to you. Is higher education beyond reform? I'm going to go with yes. You tell me what you think, and I'll tell you why I feel that way next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I got to hear it, guys. Let me just hear the one line here. Here we go. There you go. All right, so higher education. Let's talk about higher education. Obviously, I'm a mom. I've told you guys this billions of times. Going this weekend to see my son graduate from college. Second one to go. Third one's on his way. You got to ask yourself, what the hell is going on these campuses, right? Well, this is what's always been going on college campuses. Go back to the 60s. I was born in 1970. But we're going to have a little flashback coming up of Ronald Reagan as then governor of California when the shizzle was going sideways on college campuses, be it about racism, be it about war, be it about women's rights, rinse, repeat. It's the same cycle. We don't come up with new stuff. It's very cyclical. And there's something that's weird about the college mind. They really do think they're very smart. And some of them are. However, they've contributed next to nothing to our country. So I tell them to suck it and sit down. I'm not interested in your little pup tents. I'm not interested in your made-to-order, right, protest kit. I don't care about your words. You want to shout fascist, Zionist, whatever. We're really done with you because we want our kids to go and get educated. I don't care, you know, what they come out as in terms of jobs. I do care about how they're processing the noise. Some of these kids are off the charts. You guys hear about this Kamari James. I think that's his name. This kid is the one behind all of the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine jazz going down at Columbia University. Columbia University, which has devolved into exactly who you don't want to be and where you don't want your kids to go. Look, I love... With parenting, it's the same with owning an animal. You got to have discipline. There got to be consequences. I'm the boss, not you. The minute you let your dog roll all over you, you're done. It's really hard to dismantle a poorly disciplined pet. I know because I've got one. He's dumber than a box of hair. And I love him, but I've ruined him because I wasn't strict. These schools have not been strict. Columbia tried. The president of the university said, look, cops, come in. We need law and order. We need peace. Get these people out of here. And then when the protesters went nutty and they were being forcefully removed, the president of the university backpedaled and was like, well, maybe not. No. See, you come at this and you're like, these are our rules. This is where people learn. You have distracted the students. You've walked out of class. You've created this malignant environment. Jewish students fear for their freaking lives. That's a full stop. If there were black students, this never would have happened. Isn't that odd? So this isn't ending. The end of the school year is all online. When you're spending $60,000, shoot, when you're spending $10,000 on something, don't you dare bounce me to a Zoom. And this is where we are. Cowardice. This kid, though, who's been the malignant central nervous system of it all, is a product of the failure of education, where we have changed the rules. We have softened the standards. We've lowered the requirements to cover up the failure of public schools in general. There's a reason people send their kids, if they can, to private schools. The outcome almost always is better. Why? One could ask that question. Every single public school student is a dollar amount. The federal government, the state, the people in that community who pay property taxes ostensibly to keep the system going are all built for a bill that doesn't create a great result. How many of our schools, think Minneapolis and St. Paul, think Cleveland, think Baltimore, think Chicago, how many of these do we need to go through where zero students out of 2,000 are proficient in reading or math? You know, I'm no rock star. But I'm going to go with, that's a failure. Why are we still funding this? This kid is a product of that system. His goal, he says, is to ultimately end up in Congress. Oh, goody. We need a Hamas-sympathizing ne'er-do-well with a megaphone jerk to be the new AOC, new Ilhan Omar, new Rashida Tlaib. You know what we need? We need to get these people the hell out, is what we need to do. So this young student said something pretty terrible. Kaimani James, one of the most vocal student activists leading the anti-Israel Gaza solidarity encampment. At Columbia University, Kaimani James openly stated in a live stream disciplinary hearing with the university officials at Columbia in January that, quote, Zionists don't deserve to live. I'm sorry. In a heightened and super sensitive world of feelings. Oh, that sounds kind of threatening and kind of gross, doesn't it? Don't you think that would be actionable? Don't you think red flags would be like, woo, woo, we've got a problem? No, no, not in fact. James, who states in the hearing he goes by he, she, they pronouns. Oh, grow up. Live-streamed his meeting with Columbia's Center for Student Success and Intervention, where he doubled down on an Instagram post that sparked the report. In the report, which he reads aloud at the start of the meeting, James warned Zionists, who he calls white supremacists, may want to meet up and fight him, and that he fights to kill. This is one of those squishy, malignant with the megaphone and the crowds around him kind of guy that if you saw on the street, I could probably take, okay? Did you see why that's problematic in any way? Columbia employee asked James during this disciplinary hearing where they're like, look, you're saying some jazz that's really not congruous with our like warm and welcoming, everybody's safe here on campus sort of vibe. Do you regret saying that? He's like, no. No, I don't. Right? He's a junior, a spokesperson of the Columbia University Apartheid Divest Group. He's been the visible face of the protests that have garnered national attention. Hell, Ilhan Omar saw him over the weekend. Do you know that they did not expel this guy who basically said death? Death to people. He would go out and kill people who disagreed with him instead of expelling him. Do you know what Columbia's president did? They banned him from campus. But he's still on campus. He was seen on Saturday on campus saying that you're banned. And not banning somebody isn't much of a ban, is it? But I want you to read. I want to read something to you, which is very interesting. Because he plays the victim card. This is a product of your public school indoctrination. Check a box. Don't worry about working hard. We're going to bend some rules for you. We're going to cover up our own inability to teach you. Because you can't read. You can't write. You can't do math. We're going to make all these exceptions for you so it's easier for you to go to these places and just be malignant. That's exactly what happened. So as all this is coming out that he's really not that great of a guy, it's very interesting. He writes a note basically saying, you know what? I shouldn't have said some of these things that I said, but these people are mean to me. They threatened me. Do you see how this works? Go out there, be an aggressor. When the tide of public sentiment turns against you and it seems like people are done with your shenanigans and they want you gone, you got to switch strategies. You got to be the victim. And so that is what this young man did. He posted a statement on Twitter. And this is what it says. I want you to hear the victimhood of the kid who's in charge, basically, of this malignant anti-Israel, anti-reality protest at Columbia. He writes this. On Thursday, a video of me taken back in January began to circulate online. What I said was wrong. Every member of our community deserves to feel safe without qualification. Oh, but you wanted to go kill them. Okay. He also says this. I want people to have more context for my words, which I regret. Far-right agitators went through months of my social media feed until they found a clip that they edited without context or consent. This is what he's saying. Yes. When I recorded it, I had been feeling unusually upset after an online mob targeted me because I'm visibly queer and black. Nobody cares about you, young man. Nobody cares. See, that's the problem. You're desperate for relevance. You're desperate for popularity, for fame. You're desperate for the spotlight. You're desperate to fail to Congress. And so it was far-right agitators who went through your social media and took a video out and edited out of context. What? Unfortunately, this is not my first time being targeted by online trolls and harassed by people who use racist and homophobic slurs. And then he says he got called a word that I'm not going to say. Brock?
Doesn't this sound familiar?
Yes!
When they took an 8-minute monologue of yours, the left did, and cut it down to 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and you got fired for it.
Yes. It seems vaguely familiar to me.
Me too.
And then he goes on, I am frustrated that words I said in an Instagram live video have become a distraction for the movement for Palestinian liberation. I misspoke in the heat of the moment, for which I apologize. My focus remains on drawing attention to the plight of the Palestinian people and the ongoing genocide in Gaza. I'm just remember those paragliders, right? I mean, you guys remember that outdoor music festival where all the young people were having a great time until dudes with AK-47s came in and hosed everybody down and killed them all? Other than that, I'm sure this young activist guy, who's a junior malignancy at Columbia University, I'm sure he's all good. Come on, guys. Come on, Columbia. You can do better. Can't you? Is this why college enrollment, the applications are at an all-time low? Because parents and students alike are like, I don't think I'm going to do that. Seems like it sucks. Bing, 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 bing. Will the adults on the college campuses please stand up? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Flashback to Ronald Reagan's time as California's governor. You want to hear what maybe some leadership, what strength sounds like? I do. So we shall. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, Ronald Reagan, I was a product of the 70s and the 80s. He's the first president I really remember. I mean, I remember Jimmy Carter's gasoline lines. I remember sitting in my dad's VW Bug. He had a cherry red VW Bug. And I remember sitting in line, waiting to inch forward on the day that his license plate allowed him gas. So if your first digit was a letter, you went on this day. If it was a number, you went on that day. And I remember watching my dad being like, what the hell is going on? Which is where we're back to, right? Ronald Reagan, though, he's the guy I remember. He spoke in a way that made sense. He was a great communicator. He connected with people. And he didn't take a whole lot of crap from anybody. And you gotta love that, right? So we could probably take a tip from Ronald Reagan on handling college campus protests, don't you think? Because the year was 1966. He was running for governor of California. And a major part of his platform was to clean up the mess at Berkeley. How many of you guys remember this? I wasn't born yet, but I've certainly read about it and listened to it. He was talking about cleaning up the mess at Berkeley and other college campuses throughout the state. That were experiencing these protests and strikes over issues that included a whole menagerie of things. The military draft, civil rights, women's issues. Do we ever really get so far from the things that we're told we should all be fighting about? I don't think so. Now, it wasn't on a scale of this pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-America, anti-Jewish, anti-sanity hatred we're witnessing now. But Ronald Reagan's response could instruct current college presidents and admissions officers to stop the freaking unrest. Don't negotiate with people who suck. If you're some dope, Kamani James, who wants to go out and kill people until he gets caught saying it, and then says, oh, but I'm queer and I'm black and you can't talk about me. It's a very swift decision. You are expelled. Any questions? Listen to Ronald Reagan talking about the obvious lunacy trying to negotiate with people who want to be malignant for the sake of malignancy. Go.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Right. Why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
The university is a public institution.
That's
it's
right.
An important institution,
but the university,
for all of its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on the campus where no one wants to listen. No,
you are a liar.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming. And I would like to say just one thing. And to those who demonstrate so, I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Exactly right. 100% correct. 60 years ago, can we get off of this cycle? Can we stop going back to the same jazz after X many years? Can we just stop? Well, we can't. Because we have an infiltration of communism. We have jihadis all over our country who infiltrated the highest echelons of our government decades ago, who are in Congress even. We have people who've walked across our border, who our government has flown in on our dime, who don't have to go through the screenings that you do, who don't have to have an ID, who don't have to go through metal detectors, who don't have to stand in line, who don't have to do crap except vote Democrat once they get where they're going. I had the occasion to be with family last night, big reunion of family, and one of the younger family members was talking about Palestine, being pro-Palestine. And I wanted to look at this individual and shake them, but they are young. And if you're not young and dumb, I don't know what you are. But these people need to be educated. And they'll be educated when they go out and they get their first job. If this cycle doesn't stop, when they go out and realize what we're actually fighting for and who we're actually fighting against, it might just be too late. That is what we're up against. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program is just moments away. And we've got some bad news, more bad news for Joe Biden. I know it hurts me to bring this to your attention, guys. I call it, uh-oh, Joe. People aren't buying what anybody in this administration is selling. And what's this? We're hearing scut about the White House wanting to replace their premium box checker. Karine Jean-Pierre? What? But she's so good at it. We'll go there next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.